You are listening to a True Gospel Perspective from our pastor, the Reverend Charles D. Twyman. We pray that this message will be a true blessing to you.
Scripture you'll find in Matthew's Gospel, Matthew chapter 12, beginning at verse 43, there you'll find these words. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return unto my house, from whence I have came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so, shall it be also unto this wicked generation. Our message is entitled, The Empty House. The Empty House. Every time I hear on the news of tragic accidents, children dying, being shot with guns, bus accidents, fires and storms that take people's lives, I'm often wondering, were they ready to die? Especially our young children. What kind of life did they have? Did anyone introduce Jesus Christ to them? Were they saved? Are they in his presence now? You do know that everybody doesn't go to heaven when they die. And no preacher can preach someone into heaven. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. That's why I encourage you often to talk to your children, talk to all of your loved ones, and make sure that they have a solid foundation in Jesus Christ. The nation of Israel, in the historic context of this narrative, had rejected their only hope, Jesus the Christ. In his earthly ministry, he came cleansing, purifying, and performing exorcism of demonic infestation of all of Israel. Many demons were cast out by Jesus, and then some accused him of casting out demons by the power of the devil. Jesus' reply to these claims came in parabolic language. He said, but if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come unto you. Well, they accused him of casting out demons by the power of Beelzebub, the chief of demons. And then later certain scribes and Pharisees answered and said, Master, we would see a sign from you. They wanted a sign since he claimed that he came from the Lord. But he answered them and said, there shall be no sign except the sign of the prophet Jonah gave you. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall arise up against this generation and accuse this generation to be condemned. For when Jonah preached, they repented. And this nation had not repented when Jesus came preaching the kingdom of God. He told them also in the context, if you read this whole chapter, he said that the Queen of Sheba came from a great distance to see the wonders and wisdom of Solomon, but a greater than Solomon is here. And a greater than Jonah is here. The evil spirit of idolatry had been cast out of Israel after its captivity of 70 years in Babylonian captivity. From the days of Ezra up until the time that Jesus came, Israel was void and vacant of that particular evil, but other evils had tripped in and came in that made them even worse. They had religious leaders, and they were religious, but they were not righteous. That's a big difference. One evil master had been deposed of, but because of the house of Israel still lacked a new possessor, they were empty, an empty house. And here was an opportunity for more demons to come in and do more work and make them seven times worse than they were in the beginning. This lesson is for that particular generation, but let me expand on it because it also means something to us. No one is safe whose life is like an empty house. That's all your life is a house. It's a house. As a matter of fact, Jesus talks of the metaphor in Matthew 7:24, whosoever shall hear my sayings and do them is likened to a wise man who built his house upon a rock. Paul would tell us in 2 Corinthians 5:1, we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle be dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. So sometime our lives look like a house. But what kind of house are you living in? Is your house an empty house? Jesus tells this parable of what happens when a demon is cast out of an individual. He says when they're cast out, they walk through dry places, and many of the Jews had believed this. And then when he finds no place to go, he decides to go back home. And he calls it his house. He goes there and he comes and he said, I'll go back from the house I came out of. You probably know somebody like that. They came to church for a while, and now they're back out. They left the world and they came in and they even got baptized. But now they're back in the world. This passage of scripture has a close affinity to 2 Peter 2:19 and 20, where it said, and when people escape from the wicked ways of the world, this is from the New Living Translation. It says, when they escape from the wicked way of the world by learning about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and they get entangled up with sin and become slave to it again, they are worse than they were before. It would be better if they had never known the right way to live, to know it, than to reject the holy commandments that were given to them. They make these proverbs come true. A dog returned to its vomit, and a washed pig returns to the mud. Jesus tells us that this demon that had been exorcised from the individual, and he had just done this. He had just cast a demon out of a man who was blind and could not speak. And when Jesus cast out this demon from the man, the man came seeing as well as talking. And the people said, surely this must be the man that we've been looking for. Certainly this must be the Christ. And this got the Pharisees upset. Amen. So they asked for a sign. But Jesus would give them no sign, but he gave them this little story. The demon had left, but he came back. Evidently, there was no lock on the door, and he didn't have to break in. He found that the house was empty. It was straightened up, but it wasn't cleaned up. It was dressed up, but it was still messed up. I watched how some of y'all came in here last week just as sharp as you could be with your Easter finery on. And a lot of you were dressed up, but still messed up. Amen. You see, some are reformed, but you need to be reborn. Reformation is not regeneration. You can reform yourself, but only God can regenerate your life. Only God can change your soul, change your mind, and change your heart. This demon came and he found that it was swept and garnished. Garnished means it was decorated, but it wasn't dedicated. We got a whole lot of folk like that in the church. Some demonic spirits are worse than those, and he went and found him seven more demons worse than him. And they came back to throw a party in that empty house. But you know what? In these years I've been pastoring, I've seen a lot of houses in the church. I've seen a lot of different kind of houses in the church. I've taken time to write down eight different houses that I have seen. They come in the church and everybody's dressed up and they look like they ought to look, but I found that there's some glass houses in the church. A glass house, an individual whose life is transparent, and while they act like they're all of this and that, you can see right through them. Amen. You know that their motives and intentions are not from God. And the temptation said a long time ago, if you're living in a glass house, don't throw no stones. And I find that some people are not living in a glass house, but in a dog house. Usually these are men. Never live up to the godly standard that God has given them. They are males, but not men. They have no backbone to care for their wife and their family. They're not faithful to their wives. They're not role models to their children. They just live in a dog house. You know what I'm talking about. Don't come tell me how much you love Jesus and you don't love your wife. Don't praise the Lord up in here and you can't praise your wife. You can't honor her and lift her up and be a blessing to your wife. Don't talk about how much you love Jesus. The Bible tells you that you ought to love your wife, amen, as Christ loved the church and gave himself for the church. In other words, you love your wife sacrificially. You give her the best of what you have. So don't come in here talking about I love Jesus and you ain't giving her nothing. Amen. You said it. Talking about I'm living off the word of God. No, you need some gravy tray. Perina dog child. You just a dog. Living in a dog house. And then there's some of you women living in a doll house. Yeah, we got you Barbie style Christians, amen. You're just in a doll house and you're beautiful on the outside, but what about the inside? You spend more time on your nails than you do on your knees, amen. Oh, you primp and you watch yourself, you look at yourself in the mirror, but God looks on the inside of you. Grow up and come out of your little doll house fantasy. Amen, and be what God would have you to be. And then there are those that live in a whorehouse. Oh, excuse me, I meant to say a house of ill repute. that house down in the red light district. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You live a life of sexual gratification, fornication, and adultery. That's all you think about. You think it's a recreation. Amen. But God has given you this life and given you this body to be holy unto Him. And then there are those that live, number five, in the dope house, the crack house, keeping them in an altered state of consciousness. They get high with a lot of help from their friends. They're always high. They love being high. But I want you to know that every house I have claimed can be changed, can be cleaned, can be washed by the blood of Jesus. And then there's the fun house. You know the fun house with its slanted floors, its images changing in the mirror, the illusions of reality. The party life, you know. The party Christian who claims to be a Christian on Sunday but have a hangover from Saturday night. You know what I'm talking about. Then there's the poor house. These are those who will never have anything because they won't give nothing. They stay in the poor house. They think they got something, but everything they have, God gave it to them. And everything they have belonged to the Lord. They don't want to give anything, but they want God to give them everything. And then this last one, this house is the condemned house. This is a house that does not have Jesus residing in it. It's condemned. Listen to what John says in John 3:17. He says, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." So which house are you living in? Is it an empty house? Is it the dowel house, the dog house, the poor house? What house are you living in? He came back to the house and found it swept. He found it empty. He found it garnished. Someone had hung pictures on the wall over the cracks that was in the plaster. Somebody had put a rug on the floor that was creaking. It was decorated, but not dedicated. Amen. Garnished was being, it was put in order. Painted over the dirty walls. They swept the trash under the carpet, no doubt, but they never repented. Brothers and sisters, you cannot be born again except you repent of your sins, except you go to God and repent that you have been a sinner and a failure and ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and save you. And if you think you just can join a church and get saved, church can't save you. A better quality of life does not give you eternal life. No one gets to heaven by self-improvement. I know some people who have improved themselves. They took a 12-step program and they stopped drinking. They quit smoking cigarettes. They start coming to church, but they hadn't been regenerated. They simply changed themselves. What they did was they turned over a new leaf. But you need to turn over your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Only God can change you and take the taste of alcohol and drugs out of you. Only God can stop you from running after everything. Amen. It takes God to do that. But you have to repent. That's why it says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new." Did you hear what it said? He that is in Christ. Not just around Christ, not in the church, but in Christ. You've got to get in Christ. And the only way you can get in Christ is by repenting and realizing that you are on your way to hell and ask God to change you, save you, and turn you around. He comes back. You've seen an empty house. Sometimes the house looks good on the outside, but people are hoarding on the inside. They live in filth and trash, and the odors don't affect them anymore. They got cats and dogs all over the house, rats and roaches all over the house, and they don't affect them anymore. To everybody that goes down the street thinking someone is taking care of that house, but the odors don't really affect them because they're on the outside. The depravity of their condition does not register with them, but you ought to know that you're on your way to hell. Only the blood of Jesus can adequately cleanse your house. There's no other detergent. There's no bleach that can clean your house. Don't you understand that your sin in your life is like black mold infestation? And you can't just wash black mold away. You got to gut it out. And that's what Jesus Christ came to do, to gut out the sin in your life. You can't cover it up. It has to be washed away. What can wash away all my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Man has not made a detergent strong enough to wash away our sin. Only the blood of Jesus not only cleanses us, but it seals us at the same time. Only the blood of Jesus. Jesus said, this wicked generation, I see you, this is for you. This wicked generation that did not honor the Lord Jesus Christ. He came preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and they would not abide by his words. They came unto him and they forsook him. He came unto his own, amen, but they would not hear him. As a matter of fact, they took our Savior and they beat him with the cat of nine tails. They took him to a place called Calvary. Upon the cross, they nailed his hands. They nailed his feet, put a crown of thorns upon his head. That wicked generation did not know that he was God manifested in the flesh. They did not realize who Jesus was. And there are still people today that still don't know who Jesus is. But you need to tell them who he is. Show them who he is by the life that you live. Don't let them live in an empty house. That house needs Jesus in it. Amen. Only the blood of Jesus can wash away my sin. Like the old song say, I got a new home over in glory. And it's mine. It's mine. Oh, mine. When this earthly house is dissolved, I got a new home. There's no mortgage on that home. There's no escrow account on that home. There's no taxes to be paid. No property insurance to be paid. Because one day, a long time ago, my Christ paid the price with his own life upon Calvary. He paid it all. I got a home, I'll tell you, on the other side whose builder and maker is God. And one day I'm going home to be with my Lord. But that same Jesus that was crucified upon the cross, put in a borrowed tomb. I wish I had been there on the third day. When an angel rolled the stone away and Jesus stepped out on resurrection ground with all power of heaven and earth in his hand. That same Jesus sits at the right hand side of God. That same Jesus makes an intercession for me. I'm so glad that he lives in my house. I hope to God he's living in your house. Don't care what kind of house you live in, he can come and cleanse your house. Please stand to your feet if you're already not already standing. The door of the church is open. We extend this invitation to each and every one of you. Please don't take it.
We hope you enjoyed this message today, and we pray that it was a true blessing to you. If you are interested in learning more about Pastor Charles D. Twyman and the Macedonia Baptist Church family, you can reach out to us at www.mbcdet.com. Thank you, and God bless you.